Oh, sure. Now, is there a clicker thing I need to... Okay, so I need to tell you when to...
Yeah.
Okay, it'll work. We can make that work. Did it load?
It actually
did. Oh, wonderful. Oh, thank you. So, we're with Capital Commission. We actually started the ministry a number of years ago in 2003. You can advance that now. This gives the beginning and the very end of Christ's ministry with his disciples. And after he had prayed all night, he chose the 12, and then he taught them on their very first day. Now, you're going to tend to remember what happened your very first day of anything, you know, your job, new house, etc. Here Christ told his disciples on the first day of their training, "You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." Of course, Gentiles and nations are really the same word in the original language. So the point is, he's told them they're going to be brought before leaders. They're going to minister to leaders. Now, of course, there is actually, if you notice, they will be brought before. In other words, that's kind of a passive. So it's actually pointing to persecution too. But even in the midst of persecution, they will be a testimony to the leaders. Then he bookends their training on the very last day. So, you know, you put it at the first, you put it at the end, you give it that parentheses. That means it's extremely important. So the very last night, he tells them, once again, in Mark 13:9 and Luke 21:12, "They will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them." So a very important emphasis on reaching leaders. Often we don't have. And by the way, this is actually true for the whole church. This is just isn't true for me and my ministry. You know, this is strategic. That when we think of being a witness and a testimony, you know, it's easier to witness to the person below you. It's a little more difficult to witness to the person beside you. But here's Christ saying to his disciples, "Hey, I want you to know that even when you're in persecution, you're going to be reaching up and witnessing even to those people above you." And that's where it's very, very challenging, as we all know. So if you'll advance the slide. Our mission, of course, is the Great Commission, where we are taught to disciple all the nations and teaching them to observe all things that Christ commanded us. There's a little bit more in regard to disciple all the nations. If you'll advance the slide. Normally we think of discipleship when discipleship is a one-on-one thing in our minds, and that's naturally true. However, the word here, when it says disciple all the nations, it's not talking about laos, which would be individuals. Instead, it's talking about ethnos, which is nations. So you say, now, wait a minute. How do you disciple an individual? And yet it says disciple all the nations. How does that work? How would you have, you know, how do you disciple a whole nation? Well, that's what's going on. That's what Griffith Thomas even says. The commission embraces whole nations rather than indicating individuals among them. In other words, it's ethnos, not laos, is the point he's making in the original language. You say, but how does that work? Well, that then creates in the mind of the disciple, as he thinks that through, that he's to be strategic. How would you disciple a whole nation? Well, if you disciple the leader, have you discipled the nation? You know, it's a beautiful thing. Paul goes to the island of Cyprus on his very first missionary journey. There, he wins the king over the entire island. His name is Sergius Paulus. And by the way, most people think that when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, that's when his name changed from Saul to Paul. But that's not where his name changed. He's actually still Saul when he's later on in Antioch and training the pastors and all that. He's still Saul. He gets with Barnabas. He goes to, you know, his first missionary journey, he and John Mark team up and they head to Cyprus. He's still Saul all the way through Cyprus. And then he wins his first king. And that king's name is Sergius Paulus. And suddenly, Saul's name changed. He takes the name of the king and carries it with him for the rest of his life. If you think about it, he has already fulfilled his commission. He was, as I reminded you of his commission this morning in Acts 9:15, he was commissioned to bear Christ's name before Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. Well, he'd already won Jews. He'd already won Gentiles. Now he wins his first king, so he takes the name of that king and carries it with him for the rest of his life. And from there on, his name is Paul. And of course, Barnabas actually recognizes that, and Barnabas recognizes the leadership of Paul in reaching out to the king. And so he says, you know what? I want you to be the leader of the mission team. And he hands the leadership to Paul. And from there on, Paul remains the, you can tell by the order of the names, he stays the leader of the mission team. By the way, John Mark's not very happy about that. You remember when he signed up, he's a cousin of Barnabas, and all of a sudden the leadership changed. In the next city, he's Exodus. Yeah, he's out of there. And of course, that causes a little bit of problem later on. But nevertheless, this gives you the strategic nature of what's going on in that first commission. You can advance that slide, please. We see then the next commission in Acts 1:8 is just before Christ ascends. I call it the capital commission. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You guys know this verse. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem in regard to Israel? It's the capital. What is Judea? It's the region around the capital. What is Samaria? The next closest capital. You say, but wait a minute, what is the end of the earth? Now, by the way, I have to admit, it does get translated wrong a lot. And they'll add an S on end. In the original, it's singular. But it'll sometimes get translated the ends of the earth. But it's actually the end of the earth. So, since Acts follows that outline, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, etc., we have to ask ourselves, where is Paul at the end of the book of Acts? Does anybody remember where he's at? In Rome. Yeah, you guys are sharp. I love it. So he's in Rome. So what is the end of the earth? It's the final imperial capital. Rome, the end of the earth. So I call this the Capital Commission. So you can advance the slide, please. And then, of course, I've shared with you this commission. This is Saul, who, of course, turned the world upside down. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. Of course, as I mentioned this morning, an extremely, it's not a commission that he could repeat because people, particularly Jews, were not happy to hear this commission. It was very scandalous for him to mention this commission because in the Greek language, what comes first is most important. And the Jew would say, hey, wait a minute, how in the world did the Gentiles and the kings get put before us? And we're God's chosen people. So you actually don't find Paul sharing this commission. I find this fascinating because he can't. It's so scandalous. The Jews are upset with him anyway for making the Jew and the Gentile equal before God. They cannot handle that. And how much more would they have been scandalized by his commission? But there's this commission. I call it the leadership commission. And by the way, I'm just flowing through the book of Acts. I don't know if you recognize this. So we're kind of all called to do this. This isn't just me and my ministry. We're all called to think strategically in this way. So if we can have the next slide. Here, when Paul passes on his commission, would you expect him to make it a first priority? Oh, you guys know where I'm going because I already went there this morning. And since his own salvation was in answer to the dying prayer of the first martyr, Stephen, would you expect him to have the greatest emphasis on prayer in all of Scripture? But by the way, do you remember that scenario with Stephen? Remember, Stephen is getting stoned, literally, by the Sanhedrin, and he first prays, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then the Bible says he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. The Bible says with that, he fell asleep. He's dead. So, those are the final words, as it were, the last will and statement of the first martyr of the church. And what is it? It's actually a prayer. And it actually matches the prayer of Christ upon the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Well, then we have to ask ourselves, did Jesus Christ answer the dying prayer of the first martyr of the church? You know, when he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin? Well, we only know in the passage of one person by name. His name was Saul. The Bible says they laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You remember that in the stoning of Stephen? Saul's the only one named. And who is the one that is the answer to the prayer? God answers Stephen's prayer. And Saul, on the way to Damascus, is literally arrested from heaven. I mean, is there a more dynamic testimony than Saul? I don't think there is. I mean, who of us? I mean, yes, God does arrest our heart. God does the work. I don't question that. However, nothing compared to what happened to Saul. I mean, Saul is on his way to kill Christians. He has all that power I talked about this morning, the sufficient power to go and arrest believers in one country, drag them into another country and try them and kill them. As I mentioned this morning, I don't know of anyone with that much power. And yet Saul could do it. He had his Roman citizenship. He could do it. And yet he knew his very salvation was an answer to the dying prayer of the first martyr of the church. And by the way, the one he tried to martyr. You know, that whole thing begins with Saul. I don't know if you followed that up or if you backed that up. It all begins in the synagogue of the freedmen, if you want to look it up in the book of Acts. And actually, they can't overcome the wisdom of Stephen. And if you'll notice, who attends the synagogue of the freedmen? It says those from Cilicia. Do you remember where Saul's from? Tarsus of Cilicia. You know, you put together all the dots, you realize, you know, that was Saul at the synagogue fighting with Stephen. He couldn't overcome him. So then he gathers the group. They start telling lies. Then they bring him before the synagogue or before the Sanhedrin. And Stephen's power is so incredible before the Sanhedrin. And then God does that incredible thing while they're trying to persecute him. And he says, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And now they're shutting their ears and they're biting him. I mean, it's off the chart. And they take him, drag him outside the city and stone him. I mean, it's really bad. By the way, I say biting him. It gets translated, they're gnashing their teeth. The first meaning of that word is to bite. It's pretty serious what they're doing to Stephen. It's not a pretty picture. And it's the Congress of Israel. It's really ugly. But they have no toleration for Stephen. And as he dies, he prays. And Saul knows that prayer had everything to do with his salvation. It's beautiful. Of course, next, since he was told to win kings and evangelized, well, I've actually gone beyond that since I did that slide. I finished the book of Acts. So now it's 22 cities. By the way, did you know that Paul evangelized two capitals when he's even a prisoner? He's a prisoner under the Roman centurion. He's been shipwrecked. By the way, he wins the leader of Malta. Yes, is it Malta? Yes, it's Malta, the island he's shipwrecked on. And then, on his way to Rome, they don't go straight to Rome. They visit Syracuse, and they visit another city. Well, my brain is not remembering the other city. Forgive me, it's a strange name. Anyway, both of those are capitals. On his way to Rome. And he starts a church according to tradition in both of those capitals in just literally days. It's astounding what the Lord does. And I believe the centurion actually has become a believer and is helping Paul start churches in capitals and decided to do what Paul wanted. It's incredible. Anyway, it's beautiful stuff. So now it's 22 instead of 20. Evangelized 22 cities in which all were capitals or greater. Would you expect a screaming emphasis on leaders, so it couldn't possibly be missed. Like grouping Jews and Gentiles into all men. Okay, that's what's going on in 1 Timothy 2. And then doubly emphasizing leaders, saying not to leave one out. So, all who are in authority. As well, would you expect he would motivate the church, realizing it's for their own peace? Would you expect that he would make it the most climactic New Testament commission with a threefold emphasis on their salvation? You know where I'm going. I already went there this morning. Would you expect him to put it in a book where he sets up the church, covering pastors, deacons, elders? By the way, he covers everything in the church. And it's what he said it's about in 3:15, as I mentioned this morning. It's about the conduct in the church. So he covers everything in the church. And what does he say in 3:15? I find this fascinating, because when Paul wants to emphasize something, he's going to bookend. Just like Christ bookended the training of the disciples. In 3:15, you'll find that Paul is telling Timothy to be a bold witness. And he's telling the church to be a bold witness. And he uses Jesus Christ as the example. And he tells him to be a bold witness as Jesus Christ, listen carefully, as Jesus Christ confessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. The last person Christ witnessed to before he died is his own king who ordered his own execution. Astounding. If that isn't boldness, I don't know what is. But what a bookend. And would you expect him... Oh, I've just covered that one, the bookend. Please advance the slide. So we have 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Answers all those questions. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. By the way, do you think it was difficult for the early church to give thanks for those leaders that were persecuting them? I think it was full-on persecution. No question about it. In fact, you know, other than the apostles whom the Lord guarded so they could write scripture, there's practically no one who lives long enough to write a book until Constantine, and then you've got the earliest writers who are writing commentaries then, who are the expositors of the church. Until then, you're missing a whole window. You know, why are you missing the window? Well, because they didn't live long enough to write. And yet they're giving thanks for all men, kings, and all who are in authority, so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's our threefold emphasis on God desiring and delighting to see men saved. Which I believe makes this the strongest commission of the entire New Testament. No other commission has this level of God's delight in the salvation of men. So if you advance the slide, please. Our objective is to present every man complete in Christ. Next slide, please. Our goals, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every legislator every year, disciple those who come to Christ, through our ministry and those who already know Christ, equipping them for greater works of service, and then to connect each disciple with a biblically based church in his or her home community. By the way, I loved what was said this morning, that you're like a fish out of water if you're not a church, you're not plugged into a church. That's exactly right, and we do all that we can to encourage the legislators when they receive Christ, plug into a local church. And even, you know, believers that are, if they're not plugged in, to encourage them in that. Next slide, please. Our methodology, consistent Bible study, one-on-one discipleship, and prayer support development. So we're really about prayer and the ministry of the word, and of course applying that personally to our leaders. Next slide, please. Consistent Bible study, first of all. We do systematic expository teaching of the word of God. Regular Bible studies for legislators, staff, and lobbyists. Satellite Bible studies after session in the major metropolitan areas of Virginia. I'll have some photos of this later, but I'll explain it right now. We actually, you know, we have a short session in Virginia. A lot of states, by the way, like California, they'll have a year-round session just like Congress. So that's a long session. You have plenty of time to be with the legislators. But in Virginia, they're only there for 2 months. So that's really, that's a pretty short session. And that's what it's designed to be, and I think they were actually wise in that. The less time they meet to make laws, probably the wiser it is. So I get it. However, that makes it very limited in being able to give them Bible studies, etc., from week to week, because they're only there for 2 months. So we continued the Bible studies in what I call satellite Bible studies after session, and from April through the end of June, we actually go to them, and we have Bible studies up in on Wednesday up in Fredericksburg, and then Woodbridge or Fairfax, Often I go into D.C. to meet with the legislators in D.C. COVID's been a challenge on that score currently, but that's my normal routine on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I'm usually locally right there in Richmond. And then on Friday, I actually come this way and have one in Suffolk. Or I used to actually have it in Norfolk, so you can move around as they wish. Next slide, please. One-on-one discipleship, of course, personal evangelism, individual discipleship, personal growth resources. Next slide, please. Develop prayer support. Churches pray for leaders. As you saw, that's what we're all about, strengthening the church in prayer for our leaders, distributing the prayer list, pray1tim2.org, and preaching in churches throughout the second half of the year. And do pray for me. My goal every year is to be in a different church every weekend in the second half of the year. You know, that was well nigh close to impossible last year. I don't know if you've thought about that in the midst of COVID, but the Lord still opened those doors. It was absolutely incredible. So the Lord was very kind to us and still gave us a full circuit last year. So I was very thankful for that. But I covet your prayers again this year. It's a challenge from year to year. So I covet your prayers on that score. Next slide, please. Ministry background. We've been serving in the capital of Virginia since 2003. And then changed our name to Capital Commission, founded in October 2009. Our current president, Brad Harbaugh. Next slide, please. Ministry effectiveness. Presently, there are 23 state capitals with a full-time state director ministering to our leaders and additional capitals in transition. Over 25 legislators, staff, and lobbyists have surrendered to Christ since the inception of the ministry. So we're thankful that the Lord does that work in their hearts. Next slide, please. Ministry vision. Nationally, to place qualified directors in all 50 state capitals and our national capital, locally, to encourage pastors and their flocks to meet with their legislators, pray with them, give them the gospel, invite them to their church. Globally, place qualified national directors in all the capitals of the world. By the way, a wonderful 20-year plan just to pray for. If we just ask the Lord for 14 capitals a year, do you know? And by the way, that represents 2 in the United States and 12 in the world, the capitals of the world. Then in the next 20 years, every single capital would have someone ministering and giving the gospel to our leaders. Isn't that simple? 14. That's all we have to pray for from year to year. So just add that to your prayer list. You know, just pray for 14. That's really simple. Think about it, 12 disciples. You know, that's the world. And then 2 for us, you know. And in 20 years, we will have everything covered, at least giving them the gospel. Next slide, please. While we are not politically motivated, Republican or Democrat, religious right, or liberal left, and they go their separate ways. You know, it's interesting. You say, wait a minute, you're not political, but you're dealing with all those politicians. How in the world do you do that? Oh, it doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion politically, but it means that that's not the forefront of what I do. I'm there to present Jesus Christ. I'm not there to deal with politics. I'm not there to deal with the current issues. If they ask me regarding an issue biblically, I'll answer that question. But, you know, my Bible studies are not, politically driven. Now, if the Lord jumps on a political subject, I'll jump on it with all 16 feet. Why not? While I'm there. You know, I'm doing exposition. I run into it. Hey, wide open. Go for it. If the Lord doesn't give it to me, you know, if it's not in the passage, I'm going to preach what's in the passage, just like I did this morning. What you heard this morning, I preached from the passage. Okay, I walked through the passage. That's what I did. That's what I do with the legislators. So to be honest with you, what you receive from me in the churches, now actually yours was a little different this morning. Normally, I'm giving you a Bible study I already taught the legislators. Your pastor actually requested that particular passage this morning, and so I preached that passage. But often, I'm preaching the very Bible study that I've already given to our legislators. And again, it's all exposition. I'm only giving what God said and walking through the passage. And that's biblical. I believe that's what God blesses. Next slide, please. Again, what we are not, socially motivated. This is a very important sentence. Only changing external laws will not change eternal destinies. Let's say we won politically. Let's say all the legislators do what we want them to do. That they're all unbelievers. And they die and go to hell. Have we done our job? You say, oh yeah, yeah, we did our job in regard to our country. Is God going to hold you accountable for your country or what you did with the gospel when you stand before God at the judgment? Is he going to say, were you patriotic? Is that what you're going to stand for in the judgment? I don't think so. Now, I'm not saying that we don't, you know, apply the word of God to the way we think in political issues. However, that's not what we're called to do. You know, was Paul a politician? Was he all about politics? Well, I can answer that question. I've been all the way through the book of Acts, spent 8 years there, so I can answer that question. And Paul was not about politics. By the way, there, you know, a very important issue is out there, you know, abortion. That was going on in Paul's day. There were children being left all over the place. Is that what Paul, does Paul start a ministry to, you understand? You get where I'm going here? I'm not saying that's not important. But only changing external laws, only dealing with what is non-gospel, is not going to change eternal destinies. What was Paul about? What was Christ about? We're about the gospel. That's what they were about. We must be about the same. Next slide, please. Why state capitals? The average American state has 149 state legislators, 550 full-time legislative staff, 874 registered lobbyists, nationally about 75,000 souls that need to be reached with the gospel. And will they be reached if we don't go after them? This is the question. In my estimation, this group right here is the most neglected mission field in the United States. There it is. There is not a more neglected group of people. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever witnessed to a legislator personally? You can say, oh yeah, yeah, I did witness to my neighbor. Wonderful. That's exactly what we're called to do. Okay? Just give the gospel. I'm for that 1,000%. But here's our most neglected people group, and it's right here in our nation. And we can all be about this. You know, this isn't just me. This is all of us. You know, this is what Paul did. Paul evangelized capitals. You say, oh, that was Paul. That was his commission. Really? Well, that's what is given to us in the book of Acts. You know, this is example that we to follow. And Christ, as I mentioned, you know, talked about being a witness, even in persecution, to those governors and kings. Vitally important. And here's the most neglected people group. Need to receive the gospel. Next slide, please. Why legislators? Government officials are a people group clearly emphasized in the scriptures, yet most neglected by the church. Most federal legislators have passed through state government on the way to Washington, D.C. Now, both of those sentences are important. First of all, that yes, this is clearly emphasized in scripture. By the way, I've already written a book on that. It's sitting on my table. That this is all over the place. You know, by the way, your pastor just gave me a passage out of the book of Daniel on prayer. Did you notice what was in it? Strategic ministry to leaders. Prayer for leaders. I mean, we saw it this morning. It was undeniable. It was in there three times. As strong as we could ask for. It's there. That's my point. I mean, I'll put that in red. It's all over the place in the Word of God. And that's kind of what my book is about, is kind of compiling all that, because it truly is all over the place in Old Testament and New Testament. Of course, it is strategic that federal legislators pass through state government on their way to Washington, D.C. Now, by the way, that's a great benefit to me because I get to meet them at the state level. And then they get elected to Congress, and I already know them. So I get to go and say hello, and it, you know, it works out very well. But, you know, we need to remember this, too. They're in our backyard, and we can, the whole church can minister to them. You know, it's not just me. That's the point I'm making. Next slide, please. We believe that the power of God's word to change hearts through the proclamation of the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ will lead to transformation that is eternal and pleases God. Hey, this is for all of us. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's all about the gospel. And if we don't proclaim the truth so that people know the truth, it's essential. And by the way, even as I preached prayer this morning, isn't that an essential part of the gospel? To pray for others and then see them come to Christ? Yes, it's extremely essential. And yet, primarily, that's done to the believer because the unbeliever's not going to pray until he prays the prayer to receive Christ. So even though it's part of the gospel, it's to the believer. We have to pray and get that's part of the gospel. This is what we have to do. We have to pray for the lost and witness to them. So again, it's prayer, ministry of the word. Next slide, please. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, sufficient for salvation, as Paul makes very clear to Timothy, sufficient for sanctification, and all that we need for life and godliness. And the Scripture is all sufficient. This is all we need. We've got everything we need. Prayer and the ministry of the Word. Those are the greatest power sources we can ask for. The church was built upon it and has continued to be established upon it and will be established upon it until the Lord comes. Next slide, please. So, we're currently in 23 state capitals throughout the United States. Please pray we'll fill that whole thing in. That's certainly a goal. And we can just pray for two a year. We don't have to get, you know, it's a day at a time, identifying different men to be in the right place, and all that's important. So I'm very thankful for all the ones the Lord has given us, and we continue to do our best there. Next slide, please. So everything I've talked about so far is in regard to every Capital Commission ministry throughout the United States. So from here, we're going to individualize it to just our ministry. You're going to see a few more photos and stuff like that. Of course, these are the two capitals that we have the opportunity to minister in. And I'm very thankful for my wonderful beloved who comes along all the time and takes good care of me. And just like today, she drove me all the way here. She's probably going to drive me all the way home so I can get some sleep. But I'm very thankful for her. So we both minister in both of these capitals. Next slide, please. And there's me and my beloved serving in the Virginia Capitol. Next slide, please. Of course, you're going to recognize the beautiful city of Richmond. Next slide, please. This is our place of ministry, where there are 2,987 souls that need the gospel. Vital ministry. Ministry from 2003 to current. Weekly Bible studies during session. Every legislator receives the gospel through the study notes each week. By the way, we still do this. We were a little limited this year because the House didn't show up. The Senate did show up, by the way, and they actually met in the Science Museum. So we were actually able every week, just as we always do, to hand them physically and personally and greet them by name and hand them the Bible study notes and invite them to our Bible study. I mean, it's incredible. What a privilege. I mean, we get to hand it to every one of them personally and greet them by name. But we didn't get to do that with the House because they didn't show up. Now, we did have several kind of attend by Zoom of the House, but they literally were not in town. So it's kind of hard to minister someone physically who's not in town. So do pray that this whole thing will blow over in regard to the COVID limitations. Personal appointments with our legislators, that's always a joy to meet with them in their offices. And by the way, this is a wonderful joy of having a ministry that is long-term. Is after a while you get to know them, and they just invite you in. You know, I can just walk the hall and, oh, David, come on in, you know. And we just sit down with them and fellowship, share the word, give them some resources. It's a tremendous privilege. That's where I see, by the way, their desk and, you know, the little stack of cards that, you know, I'm praying for you. It's beautiful. Then the regional Bible studies we've already talked about, after session, and then going to churches and presenting the priority of prayer for leaders. By the way, this is absolutely essential. I mean, this is great stuff to share with other churches as well. I mean, I don't know if you realize it. You back up in American history. Do you know that in the time of the colonies, prior to the Revolutionary War, every single church in America prayed for their leaders every Sunday morning? Do you know I can prove that? I can prove that from history. Of the colonies, prior to the Revolutionary War. When the Revolutionary War, well, prior and the Revolutionary War, did America like the king anymore? No. In fact, did America like a monarchy anymore? The answer is no. So where it says in 1 Timothy, kings and all who are in authority, they were like, hey, wait a minute, you know, we're not about monarchy anymore. So let's just kind of let that passage go. Can we do that? Are we allowed to do that? No, we just apply it to what we're in. I mean, we still have leaders. You know, congressmen, a president, how is that different from a king? You know, how is congressmen different from princes? Do you get it? I mean, all we have to do is apply it. But do you know what? America just threw out the baby with the bathwater and said, no more. We're not going to pray for the king anymore. In fact, you know, we're going to get rid of him and all of his governors and everybody. And, of course, you know, Revolutionary War. So this is vitally important that we just do Scripture. You know, what is... Anyway, it's a fascinating history. Next slide, please. So these are our Bible studies from the beginning. And we can, by the way, change that to 2021. This is... if you add, oh my, how many more? It was 116 instead of 97. 19 more. If you add 19 more, I just did this year to the book of Acts. That's my lineup so far in all the years I've done the Bible studies with the legislators. So, you know, we ministered to them the first half and then preach in churches the second half. But what a wonderful opportunity to dig into the Word of God and give them the truth of Scripture. Next slide, please. The four-phase strategy of ministry, state capital community. Of course, we begin at the state capital, then minister to those in Congress from Virginia. And then we've ministered really to all of those in Congress by giving them a MacArthur Study Bible for their birthday. What a tremendous opportunity. By the way, they appreciated it. It's wonderful to be able to give them a wonderful Bible and even see the response of that. And I think I have a slide in here. I'm not positive. Of later on, just last year before last, we visited one of the congressmen that we gave the Bible to, who said, it's going to be on my desk, I'm reading it every day from now on. And we're like, whoa, that's really exciting. You know, it's a guy from Louisiana. And so, you know, we got to know him, said hello, kind of kept that relationship, but didn't really visit his office that much. So anyway, year before last, I keep having to back up 1 year because of the COVID thing, we visited him, and guess what's sitting on his desk? And we just walked in. What's on his desk? That same Bible. He picks it up, and he says, do you know, I'm still doing today what I promised you I would do when you gave it to me. Isn't that beautiful? You know, our leaders appreciate the truth. We just have to minister to them. They appreciate it. They, you know, it's a beautiful thing. As well, the capitals of the world. We need to pray that the Lord will... By the way, thanks for taking those prayer lists. I noticed you guys gobbled them up. I appreciate that. Next slide, please. Here's one of the legislators that received the study Bibles and sent us a photo. He took a photo and signed it and all that. So that was exciting. Next slide, please. And here's another legislator. And this is the guy, by the way. He went and got a professional photographer and said, meet me in front of the Capitol. And he writes at the bottom, really. So we were so excited that he was so excited to receive it. Thank the Lord for godly legislators. Next slide, please. Recent answers to prayer. We thank the Lord for a wonderful legislative session again this year. Effectiveness of our ministry with the passing out of the study Bibles with Congress and the Supreme Court. By the way, I'm thankful. The Supreme Court is really hard to give a study Bible to, even on their birthday. I mean, it's a whole long story. It'd take me all night just to explain that one. But we finally found a legislator in Virginia Senate had a daughter working for a organization that was directly involved with the Supreme Court of the United States. So we gave them to her to give to all the legislators, because we hadn't been able to. I mean, it was really bad. It's a bad story, so I don't even want to share it. So we gave them to her, the rest of them, that we couldn't pass out on the original kind of giving it to Congress. And the Lord allowed us to finish that project. That was very, very exciting. So that's been completed. Next one there, the joy to partner with Luciano Bongara in Argentina, seeking to reach the 21 Spanish nations. By the way, I think he's already done that. The last time I spoke to him, he's up to about 40 capitals throughout the world, where he has started a ministry in the capital. It's absolutely incredible. So the Lord's using him in a wonderful way. There's another guy named Marino. By the way, I'm giving you these names so you can pray for these guys, because they're out there making it happen, starting up ministries. But Luciano in particular, right, he's really pushing hard to really fill the capitals of the world. But this other guy, Marino Mojotic, is reaching the entire European Union Parliament and the leaders of 28 nations. And the Lord's just given him that opportunity within the last 2 or 3 years, which is just amazing. Can you imagine just opening up 28 nations, the leaders of 28 nations, to one guy who's ministering to all of them? It's just incredible. And he was just ministering in the capital of Greece. And the Lord just opened this door. Absolutely amazing. And then that the Lord used my book and continued to call men to capitals and to pray for leaders. Next slide, please. Either way, I should mention in regard to that last point, I'm working on the second edition of my book, which, Lord willing, will be published this year. So I covet your prayers in that regard. More prayer needs. Open the doors to present the gospel to our legislators. Absolutely essential. By the way, it takes a lot of wisdom to know exactly how to share with them and the best way. Prepared hearts to hear and respond to God's word. Wisdom to speak the truth in love. Guidance and provision of resources for the most effective means of presenting the Word of God to our state and national leaders. I'm just asking you to pray for me for wisdom. And this is extremely challenging to know. You know, everybody's different, and the avenue to every person is different. Just like the avenue to you if you're married, the avenue how you got saved is probably different from how your spouse got saved. Everybody's different. And so knowing how to reach out and minister to each person in their individual need and capacity and best avenue, and we just cry to God for wisdom. Next slide, please. Prayer needs that the Lord will use the study Bibles in the hands of every member of Congress, encourage them both to read it and be transformed through his word. That's just a wonderful way to pray. You know they've got it, you know, so just pray for them. Opportunity to preach in churches every weekend. Again, I mentioned that this morning. You just pray for me on that score. Special wisdom and leadership to minister in a greater way in the D.C. Capitol. By the way, that's a real challenge right now with COVID. And it's actually a challenge in the state capitol because the House doesn't come. You know, if they're not there, I can't get to them. So it's really, I still send them the study notes by email, etc. But that's not the same. It's putting it in their hand, and they put it in their jacket pocket, and they, you know, they're waiting for session to open. They just pull out the study notes. They can read it. It's, you know, it's the perfect opportunity. But if they're not there, It's mighty hard to give it to them. I mean, I can send it to them by email, but you know who that's going to get to. It's going to hit the legislative assistant, and most likely it's, you know, going to go in some inbox somewhere or something. So we just ask the Lord to, and please pray with us that the Lord will work in the hearts of our leaders and use his word in their hearts. Special wisdom and leadership, administer a greater way in the D.C. capitals, and to begin a Bible study in Congress. That's another goal, is to start a Bible study in Congress. We've been actually trying to do that for a number of years, and it's just not easy. It's hard to get a single appointment right now, so much less a Bible study every week. So another way to pray for us. Resources and individuals, help with the Virginia ministry, promote the ministry effectively, etc. Next slide, please. Ministry needs, believers who will pray regularly for our Virginia and national leaders. That's the most important thing. As well, I think we're going to have to hit the button for the next one. Ministry partners who will pray for and support the work on a regular basis. Local church volunteers. Okay, thank you. And then for the Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk. By the way, we do this every year. You're invited. You can come to the Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk. We would love to have you. We do this every year, normally in the Capitol. We weren't able to do it in the Capitol this last year because of COVID, but we still had it at a church, and I still send out the flyers. Did you guys get my flyers? I don't know if you got them or not, but I think I sent them to you. I hope I did. Did you? Oh, this is always on the eve of the elections. So it's always the Monday night before the Tuesday elections, and it's always 5 o'clock to 7:30. So, you know, you're out of there pretty quick. You do have to, you know, get down there because you guys are a ways away. So you'd have to plan for it a little bit and get down there. But we actually have people every year that come from this area. And there's actually a lot of people. And by the way, it's from another Presbyterian church that come. So you could join actually with other Presbyterian churches that come our way and bring a whole group. So anyway, we'd love to have you join us there. Next slide, please. And by the way, this next slide is the cookout. This was our very first cookout in 2004. It was a real, literal cookout. You can see the grill, you know, the whole nine yards. Next slide, please. Of course, we picked on the pastor there as we told him he was offering up burnt sacrifices. he actually did a good job. Next slide, please. But I don't know if you know Sam Nixon, but he was a legislator at the time. He's now the head of one of the state agencies. I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, next slide, please. This is Gary Thompson, my good friend, who he was actually the chair of the Republican Party when I started. Can you ask for better than that? The Lord already had him in place. One of my best friends, known him since fourth grade, grew up with him in a Christian school right here in the Tidewater area. His dad was an assistant pastor. My dad was an assistant pastor. We got to know each other well. Went to the Christian school together. All the way through 10th grade, I think. So anyway, just a great friend. And he was the chairman of the Republican Party. And he really helped me get started. You know, the Lord just puts people in place. So I'm very thankful for him. Next slide, please. More pictures of the very first Capitol cookout. By the way, I don't know if you realize, this is a beautiful building. This is the old City Hall in the Capitol, downtown Richmond. Next slide, please. There's the speaker, Bill Howe. I am so thankful to the Lord for him. This is actually when we began our ministry. He actually began as speaker the year we began our ministry. It's absolutely incredible. And this year, actually for the first time, he opened his law office, which is, by the way, a beautiful old log cabin that he, you know, had them disassemble it and bring it to Fredericksburg and reassemble it, number the logs, the whole nine yards. Anyway, we got to do our Bible study in his log cabin, and that was just an incredible privilege. But what an incredible believer, and what a blessing he's been to us over the years. And by the way, incredible leadership. I mean, the Lord used him in an incredible way as a speaker. Yeah, the Lord gave him incredible wisdom. He had a sense of humor that when people got crazy on the floor, which happens fairly often, he had a way of diffusing all that with an incredible sense of humor. He was really lots of fun to have as a speaker. But I'm very, very thankful for him. And the Lord's been very good to us to give us that relationship with him over the years. So again, you know, it's amazing how when we started, the Lord had people in place that would actually help us with ministry, that the Lord really encouraged us. And I'm very, very thankful for Bill Howe. And I'd be here all night if I told you all the ways he's been a blessing to us. Next slide, please. This is our next Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk. And of course, by the way, we do the prayer walk right there on the Capitol grounds. You know, this is the, if you look to your right kind of there, that's the fountain. And then these are the benches along the sidewalk, you know, on the way up to the equestrian Statue of Washington. If you've been to the Virginia State Capitol, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we just do it right there on the Capitol Square. Next slide, please. Oh, no. Well, we had some bad slides. Anyway, sorry there. Yeah, so here were some good ones. More burnt sacrifices. We had a wonderful time. Next slide, please. Again, the cookout, actually a tent there. Next slide, please. By the way, this is an incredible lineup here. We actually had, this is Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling at the time. I don't know if you remember him. On your right, and Delegate Algie Howe, actually from a delegate from this area, on your left. Delegate Algie Howe, the one on your left, was the first legislator to receive Christ through our ministry. He actually, I began witnessing to him. He came for the first time to our Bible study. It wasn't actually a Bible study. It was a pastor's day. And I had Dr. Falwell come and just share his testimony. I said, nothing political, just share your testimony. And a lot of the legislators just wanted to see him. And so this guy sat right across the table from him and listened to the gospel. And the next week when I visited him, of course that was the first time he had come, next week when I visited him, he wanted to hear the gospel. So, you know, I'm sharing with him, and, you know, it comes time for the caucus meeting. You know, they all caucus prior to session. So his L.A. sticks his head in the door and says, hey, it's time for you to go for caucus. He said, forget caucus. Don't worry about it. So I still gave him the gospel. He's still asking questions. The legislators, the L.A. sticks his head in the door and said, hey, you've got to go to session. He said, don't worry about session. This is more important. And I'm like, really? This is amazing. You know, but he understood, yes, my soul is more important than one day being in session. And he received Christ actually during session one day as we had the opportunity to give him the gospel. And of course, we had both of them speak at one of the Capitol cookouts. Next slide, please. This is one of my favorite photos. If you know the political scene, Bill Bowling, the one on your right, is a Republican. This one who received Christ, Delegate Algie Howe, on your left, was on the other side of the aisle. He's a Democrat. Do you see their hands? This is my favorite photo. Look at their hands. Do you see their hands? We're praying for them, and God uses that to unify them. Isn't that beautiful? And that's one of my favorite photos. Absolutely amazing. By the way, there's a pastor right behind him with his arm around both of their hands and praying for both of them. I love this photo. It's just really, by the way, at the end of the cookout, I didn't really share it with you, but at the end of the cookout, I actually have all the pastors come and gather around our legislators and pray for them. I mean, what better thing to do? You got pastors, you know, why not pray? So what a beautiful climax to those events. Next slide, please. This is 2007. Again, the prayer walk. You actually see the fountain behind them on this occasion. Next slide, please. Here's two more of our legislators that I'm very thankful for. Been a blessing to us over the years. Next slide, please. Here's a pastor and his wife who actually volunteered helping serve the food there at the cookout, and actually our pastor's wife as well, helping serve. And of course, our pastor was doing the burnt sacrifices. Next slide, please. And of course, this is actually another year where another legislator is speaking for us. Very, very exciting to hear the testimonies of our legislators. That's really what the Capitol Cookout is. You get to hear the testimony of a legislator and his Christian walk with Christ, our opportunity to minister to him, etc. Next slide, please. 2008, here's the registration table as you come up to the cookout. Next slide, please. Again, the prayer walk. This is back up, please. This is another one of my favorite photos. Now, actually, the pink kind of messed up. This photo got messed up a little bit, but actually, there are two children. You can't see them underneath the pink, but there are two children kneeling down as well. And it's just a beautiful family photo of a family, you know, of course, and everyone else, but of a family on their knees praying for our leaders. Absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Next slide, please. These are actually two guys in our church that I love and cherish and thank the Lord for. That actually have come, the one on your right has come every year to our Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk. Next slide, please. Again, the inside of the old city hall as we had the cookout. Next slide, please. It's 2009. Again, this is the registration table. Next slide, please. This is the, you can actually see the fountain now behind it. And we're looking down from the equestrian statue. You can see the fountain behind it there on Capitol Square. Next slide, please. And once again in the old city hall where we had the time together to hear from our legislators. Next slide, please. 2010. Thankful that, you know, we have all kinds of, folks to gather and pray and cross all the barriers. Very exciting. Next slide, please. Again, another legislator, tremendous blessing. This legislator is from Roanoke, and Gary Thompson, my good friend, who often is my MC for the cookout. Next slide, please. Again, the pastor circle of prayer and praying for our leaders. Next slide, please. That one year, we actually had a Capitol Cookout band who actually played up in the balcony. It was amazing. So that was kind of exciting. Next slide, please. In the 2011 Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk, and as you can see, the Lord gave us, it was kind of incredible that the Lord opened these buildings and gave us all this opportunity from year to year in these government buildings. To be honest with you, it's getting tougher and tougher. We covet your prayers on that score. Next slide, please. Another beautiful photo of the prayer walk, the pastor's praying. Next slide, please. Serving the food there. By the way, I think we'll get to the photo of the couple that actually donates Brock's Barbecue for our cookout every year. So we're not, you know, doing the burnt sacrifices anymore. Next slide, please. This is another one of our legislators, a dear friend. Has been a blessing to us over the years. Next slide, please. 2012, again the prayer walk. Next slide, please. Again, and you see the Capitol in the background of this one. Next slide. Again, the serving the delicious Brock's Barbecue. Next slide, please. And this is Delegate Rich Anderson. He was our speaker that year. He, by the way, is currently the chair of the Republican Party of Virginia. And it's exciting to have him continue in our Bible studies. Next slide, please. And a gift they gave us. Actually, still sitting by my side door. Exactly. And his better half. Next slide, please. 2013, a wonderful couple who ran the registration table year after year. It's been in our church, still is in our church. Next slide, please. By the way, I don't know if you noticed as we've gone through, but this prayer walk is actually led by young people. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you noticed that as you've gone through, but as you can see there, you've got young people leading the prayer walk. Next slide, please. A gentleman who's been a tremendous blessing to us over the years. He's very faithful and seeking to encourage us in the Capitol. Next slide, please. I think you'll recognize this guy. He was the Speaker of the House right after Bill Howe. This is Kirk Cox. Ran for governor. I don't know if y'all knew that. Just ran for governor. Lost in the primary. But I'm sure the Lord will use him in some way or another as time goes on. And, of course, my wonderful beloved. Next slide, please. Here, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, we have had a change of interior here. We're now in the Library of Virginia instead of the old City Hall, and this is the main room there in the Library of Virginia where we hold the event. Next slide, please. Isn't this a great little guy? 2014, just standing there with the Word of God. I just love it. A beautiful family in our church. Next slide, please. Oh, and here's Tim and Lisa Brock that provide the Brock's Barbecue each year. How am I doing all right? Yeah. Next slide, please. And, of course, the Capitol Police would join us as well. I don't know if you noticed on my lapel, I have a Capitol Police badge. But the Capitol Police have asked me to become their chaplain. So for the last, I guess since 2018, I've been the chaplain as well for the Capitol Police. So pray for me there as well, that the Lord will give me wisdom in how to do my best on that, with that opportunity. Next slide, please. Senator Bill Carrico, what an incredible believer. We've been in his church on several occasions, and it's great to have him speak that year. Next slide, please. Again, the Pastor Circle of Prayer for our leaders. Next slide, please. And the 2015 Capitol Cookout. Next slide. Again, in the Library of Virginia. Next slide. Featured speaker, Sam Nixon. You saw it actually at the beginning. Next slide. Pastor Circle of Prayer. Next slide. 2016. More Brock's Barbecue. Yeah, you can scroll through these. We've seen what the prayer walk's about. Again, my good friend Gary Thompson is our MC. Dave LaRocque, another strong believer, is our legislators. Again, praying for our leaders and the pastors. 2017, again, the prayer walk. It's wonderful, these young people that lead the prayer walk. I actually really thank the Lord for the young people that volunteer for that event. Next slide, please. Even the disabled come and join us at the prayer walk. Next slide. More young people leading the prayer walk, and again, some Asians. That's wonderful. 2018. Next slide. Again, the food. And I love this photo. It puts the light right over them. Of course, they actually do pray around the lights. It gives them a little more light. Next slide, please. Ministry needs, believers who will pray regularly for our Virginia leaders, ministry partners who will pray and support the work on a regular basis, local churches, volunteers to prepare notes for legislators, Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk, local church coordinators, volunteers for, those are local church, normally they're actually right in Richmond, and sponsors for the Capitol Cookout and Prayer Walk. So a number of things to pray for there in regard to our ministry. Financially and otherwise. Next slide, please. Here we are passing out the Bible study notes. This is what we normally do. As they're on their way to session, Delegate Lionel Sproul is from this area. Next slide, please. Again, that's Delegate Rich Andrew. By the way, if you look in the bottom left-hand corner, that's Larry Mason, who was a legislative assistant who volunteered to help us with the ministry and helped me for a number of years. Tremendous blessing. He's been to us. He's retired since then. Next slide, please. Some happened to that photo. That's our former Bible study. Next slide, please. This is our Bible study when we got to hold it in the speaker's conference room. Next slide, please. This is a satellite study in Fredericksburg. Next slide. And then in Woodbridge. Next slide. Then in Norfolk. Next slide. Oh, here's our Pastor's Day at the Capitol that we did. Next slide. Here's Dr. Falwell, again, for that very first Pastor's Day. Next slide. If you look at the gentleman right across the table from him, he's the one who received Christ. Next slide, please. Again, wonderful first Pastor's Day. Next slide.
Sorry, brother. We've got our kids are waiting.
Oh, they're what? Okay. Well, I'm done. Are there any questions? Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to present the ministry. Thank you for this church, May you bless them richly and guide them and strengthen them, both in prayer for their leaders and in sowing the seed of the gospel with all those around them. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.